for the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back once again with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. And usually, this is the FA Cup third round. This would be the week full of excitement, full of fanfares, dance troupes, celebrity fans. But in the middle of a pandemic, it's a little bit more subdued. More for the rest of us than those taking part as we're here. It's been an odd show to put together too, as despite being in a period of lockdown where the majority of non-league football folk sat at home twiddling their thumbs desperate for some action, those involved in this competition this year are at full pelt and beyond. What I hope it shows is how hard people in non-league work. These guys, they're on a high with global media interest, many plaudits, but they've earned it. Not only before they got to this stage of the competition, but now they're literally running on fumes, balancing day jobs and family life with their commitment to non-league football. I hope you'll enjoy their tales, and I hope you'll also give them your support this weekend and beyond, just as a thank you for the great work that the FA Cup and the FA Cup third round does for non-league football. As I've pointed out, it is FA Cup focused this week, so there is only one man to call upon for all insights and knowledge FA Cup. Four non-league clubs taking part in this year's third round. And to tell us more, it is a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show at FA Cup Fact File, Mr. Phil Annette. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Hi. Thanks for having me on again.
It's always a pleasure. It's good to have you back on. You know, the familiar faces, familiar voices. It is an exciting time. Four non-league clubs in the third round. And that's not completely unusual, but four plum home ties and all on TV. That's got to be some sort of first.
Yeah, I think it is some kind of first for all four to be at home. It's not unusual to have four teams at the stage of the competition, I think. 4 years ago was the last time. That was the year of, I think, 2016-17, so that would have been Lincoln City et al. But yeah, four home ties, that's what they all would have dreamed of. Four on TV, that's all they all would have dreamed of as well. I guess the only thing that's missing is the fans at the game, which is obviously a big loss.
It is a big loss, and it's not just the fans. It's also, well, they would be fans at these games, but it's you know, speaking to managers and players that are involved in these games, it's the spin-off from that, because every aunt, cousin, and distant family relative would want to be at that game as well to watch their family member compete in the FA Cup.
Well, they would. It would have been a massive occasion for everyone in the locality. Something, as we know, won't come around too often, if ever at all again. So, you know, it is a really unfortunate timing, but still, there's still great competition to be had and potentially great memories to be had.
Yeah, and I wrote in the non-league paper last weekend, reasons to be cheerful, and one of them was that this FA Cup weekend really does give non-league an opportunity to show how magical and how powerful it is and how important it is to the whole game of football in this country. So, I mean, let's start with the game Marine, the tie that appears to have captured the world's imagination. I mean, they're entertaining Tottenham Hotspur at Rossett Park, and the attention, I think, deservedly so, because of the seven levels of pyramid between them. But that's not the first, they're not the first level eight club to reach this stage of the competition, are they?
No, that's true. No, one other club from level eight has made it before. That was Chasetown, who got to play Cardiff City in the third round. They did lose, unfortunately, but Cardiff went all the way to the final that year. But this is the first time that a level eight club has been paired with a top flight club. And, you know, for me, I think it's probably the first ever competitive match between two clubs with such a gap in levels between them. Even in the world, I can't imagine there could be anywhere else where you'd get a competitive game with a top flight club competing against a team from eight levels below. So it's very historic, and it's great that this sort of history can still be made within the FA Cup.
Yeah, and it probably shows how long this programme's been going. I remember covering that Chasetown game 13 years ago and their progress through to that stage of the competition. And I even checked my mobile phone contacts earlier today and realised that those numbers are still in there. So hello to those guys that we spoke to 13 years ago. And hopefully a similar tale to be told in 13 years' time. It's also not Marine's first time in the round three either.
No, yeah, they've made the third round in the past. So, yeah, they were a higher level team at the time. But, you know, to make it at this level is it's just fantastic. I mean, we can all dream about cup sets and giant killings, but if Marine were to somehow pull off a victory against Spurs on Sunday, then that would, for me, that would be the greatest ever giant killing in football has ever been. And that's the scale of the contest that we've got on that game.
Yeah, and I'm a lifelong Spurs fan, but I have to admit, mainly because I did so in an interview last week, but I'd probably be happy for Tottenham to bow out this round if it means more success for Marine. Not as a sense of disloyalty, that it's more for a love of the FA Cup, the love for the magic that the non-league brings to it.
Yeah, as long as it was a one and lost on the pitch, that's what you really want.
Yeah.
But it would be marvellous if it happened. I'm sure everyone can dream, as I said, and we all sort of keep our fingers crossed, you know, that we can have a moment of fantasy in the competition.
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be fabulous. You know, not many teams have won through 8 rounds in the FA Cup in one season, so Marine would join an exclusive band of teams that have achieved that feat.
Well, that's one thing I was going to touch on. It's a real achievement for Marine. And I hope that the mainstream media make much more of this, because to achieve this at any time, you know, 7 games to be won in the competition to reach this game, I mean, it's pretty incredible. But to achieve the same in COVID times is amazing, really. And as you say, if they were to win at the weekend, what an exclusive club they've become part of.
Yeah, and I think the last club to do it was Blyth Spartans, and look at the legacy that's left from 1978. We all remember it. So if Marine can do something similar, then obviously they'll be in FA Cup folklore forever.
Yeah, I'd suggest they're probably already in there for many years to come. A Sunday tea time game as well, live on the BBC during lockdown 3. Now, I doubt Marine or even Spurs will play to a bigger audience this season, or maybe ever.
Yeah, I think you've got a captured audience there, haven't you? So what else are we to do? So, yeah, it's got everything about the FA Cup written all over it, and it's got a captured audience, and so you would expect that would attract a lot of people to watch that game, not just in this country, but worldwide.
Yeah, so no choking on those roast potatoes on Sunday evening if you're having a bit of a late Sunday lunch. Now, surely probably the other tie to get a great deal of media attention, but because of the opposition manager, Wayne Rooney taking his Derby County side to Victory Park, or at least some sort of side.
Well, it won't be Wayne Rooney from what I'm reading. You know, unfortunately, he's one of the people that are self-isolating, so... From the latest news is that most of the Derby team will not be first team players, and even the staff that are managing the team won't be. But even though it might be disappointing for Chorley to know that that's happening, the team probably would have not played their first team regulars anyway. It might not have been a full team of second string or under 23s, but you'd have expected Derby to go to that game with a few people that would not be first team players. But, you know, don't take anything away from Chorley. If they can beat Derby's reserves, it'll still be a significant achievement. And they've already set 2 FA Cup records this year. Not only for the club, but for the competition as a whole. They're making it into the third round for the first time ever. And it is their 113th season in the FA Cup, which is a record length of time any team has had to wait in order to appear in the third round for the first time. So they've got that record already. And then from their previous 2 rounds, they are the first level 6 club to win 2 games at level 3 opponents in the same season. I mean, it doesn't happen once that often, to happen twice. And to beat Wigan and Peterborough, that is a phenomenal achievement. So, and that in itself is another fantastic FA Cup record for them.
Yeah, as any non-league fan knows, you know, the ability to be able to talk to your mates about the time that your club beat a league opposition in the FA Cup, it's the thing that you dine out on there. Certainly after a few pints, that's always the story that comes out. But when you've achieved that against 2 clubs in one season, yeah, and possibly 3, we were talking about the magical folklore and all that sort of thing. I mean, that really would be... guarantee them a spot in every quiz show for the next millennia, I would have thought.
Oh yeah, if they got to the fourth round and after beating another team from three or four levels above them, yes, I mean they're already a quiz question already, but yes, that would cement it indeed. And good luck to them. Great chance, I think, as they proved in the previous two rounds.
Yeah, a Saturday lunchtime game, and normally as a non-league fan, I always have this sort of, it's difficult because you'd be a bit miffed about a Saturday lunchtime game normally because it's probably, you're always happy that the club's got TV coverage, but if you're planning a trip to any other game on that Saturday, a 12:15 p.m. kickoff, it's often too early to arrive at a clubhouse because you've had to travel there and get there for a 3 p.m. game, and it's normally too late for you to get time to travel from home having watched it to get to a 3 p.m. kickoff. But this year, I mean, it's almost perfect for many a fan. You know, everybody's had a long, hard week. I'm sure there'll be many that just literally roll out of bed after a well-deserved lie-in and straight into the game.
Yeah, I mean, most seasons we all hanker for that Saturday 3 o'clock FA Cup third round day, all teams playing at the same time, and we've been despairing how it's been spread out across the weekend under normal circumstances. But this year, all grateful, I guess, that it's been spread out over the whole weekend so that we can see as much of the competition as we can, because they're all available to watch in some form or other on TV or online, and they go through from Friday night to Monday evening. So there's no excuses if you're stuck at home as we all are to not get to watch four, five, six FA Cup games over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm already having to plan out, you know, how many peanuts do you eat during a weekend like this when you've got so many games? I think I might have to go for a walk now and make sure that I'm capable of being able to start watching these games as the weekend commences. Now, in any other year, this next game would have been swarmed with media attention. It's still a big tie and still TV coverage and media attention, but Boreham Wood playing host to Millwall, and a momentous year for Boreham Wood as well.
Yes, it is, yeah. Obviously, they're making the third round for the first time themselves, so they're matching Chorley on that. So a big news story. As you said, would have got all the attention had it been the only thing going on. And great news for Boreham, because it's in their 50th anniversary of taking part in the FA Cup. So this is their 50th campaign. So what a way to celebrate and commemorate your 50th year by having your best performance ever. And again, you know, on a day, why wouldn't they be able to beat Millwall? We've seen other upsets of similar standards, so they're at home. Every chance, I think, to give it a go.
Yeah, and we know what a great playing surface it is at Boreham Wood as well, and there'll be a game of football played there rather than a hoof ball that maybe past FA Cup third round victories of. In the annals of history of brought us. Millwall, of course, you know, former FA Cup finalists and a very strong FA Cup pedigree in recent seasons too.
Yeah, that's right. They're Cup finalists in 2004 and they've been quarter finalists twice in the last 4 years. So they are used to getting through quite a long way in the competition. So and being the underdog and causing the upset. So it'd be interesting to see how they cope with it on the other foot.
Yeah, and finally, the tie that guarantees a non-league name in the bowl of balls, and it wouldn't be this season without another little quirk in it. You know, this tie guarantees a non-league name, not only in the fourth round draw, but technically in the fifth round draw too. The Monday night tie between Stockport County and West Ham United.
Yeah, if they can get the draws done in time before the game finishes, then yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know how many other games might not get to go ahead over the weekend, but yeah, it's great to see that Stockport County and a non-league club will be in the draw, going through this bizarre, doing two sets of draws to see that they can see a path all the way through to the quarterfinals in a way. Obviously, it'd be a bit of a challenge to get past West Ham United in the first place, but you know, they have beaten them in the competition before, way back in the 30s. And I also think they might have beaten them in the League Cup in the past. So, you know, they've got some history against them that might work to their advantage.
Yeah, and Stockport, of course, no stranger to the fourth nor the fifth round.
Well, that's true. They've been as far as that before, but this is the first time they've made it to the third round as a non-league side. And so they're making some kind of history for themselves this season too.
And it awaits to be seen how the fourth and fifth round draws are going to happen. I'm concerned as to whether maybe now there's more than one a bowl of balls, and have all the balls been uniformly tested? Have they been regular? You know, have the weights and measures department been out to make sure? there's a whole host of other questions that come with this change in the way that the draws are made.
Yeah, we'll probably find out why they don't show the early round draws of the extra preliminary round and preliminary first qualifying by the way that they manage this fourth and fifth round with a lot fewer teams in between it. So it probably explains why we don't get to see it in those early days. And but it'd be great if you can get more than one non-league club into the next round. I think Lincoln and Sutton were the two teams that did it last time and got to the fourth round. But you have to go back to the mid-70s for the last time we had three clubs in the fourth round, and should a miracle upon miracles all happen and all four go through, well, that'll be the first time since we've had this kind of structure in the competition since 1925.
Well, and that's the reason that we call upon your brain cells, your database, and everything else that comes with FA Cup Fact File, Phil. Remind people that obviously this isn't just about non-league. This is the FA Cup third round, so there's plenty of other ties that you've covered there. How can people read more about your stats and facts and everything like that?
Well, yeah, you're right. I've covered all 32 third round ties in facts and stats on my FA Cup Fat File WordPress.com blog, and you can access that through going through my Twitter account at FA Cup Fat File, and you can follow all the updates on my stats by following that account.
Well, thank you as ever, Phil. Hopefully, we'll speak to you for the next round with more non-league participation. But until then, stay safe, stay well, and thanks again.
Cheers, Tim. I look forward to that happening. Thanks. Bye.
Now, our next guest is no stranger to the show, and he's busy. He's always busy. I think over the years, I've recorded interviews with him at 7 a.m. in the morning, maybe even earlier than that, and at 10 p.m. at night, just to fit in to his always-on-the-go schedule. And however busy he is, he always tries to accommodate. And he'll always be thankful that we've accommodated him on the Non-League Football Show. During the summer, he won an award for his efforts as a head teacher during Lockdown 1. So at the start of this week, he could see maybe there was a busy week ahead. A prime FA Cup tie on Saturday and a return to school in the days before. Then came new science, new guidelines, and some unfootball friendly weather. So this week has probably been the busiest week in this guy's life. But knowing his Thursday would be manic at short notice, he agreed to record something for the show on Wednesday evening on the hoof. It was off the cuff for both of us too. I think I even credit comedian and former They Think It's All Over presenter Nick Hancock for running the NHS. But anyway, well, those are the sort of facts. Yeah, maybe it's a Freudian slip, but they're the sort of facts that aren't important FA Cup third round weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the world's busiest man, manager at Chorley FC, Mr. Jamie Vermiglio.
I'm at the moment, yeah, school is tough, lots going on, very reactive, lots going on, and COVID test at the club, just got over to a training session, the pitch is frozen, on the phone trying to get somewhere else, just got somewhere else, lads are in the moment. Yeah, not ideal.
And there's this other hiccup with Derby County's COVID issues as well. If we talk about a lot about, you know, Hollywood should be looking at non-league for its next blockbuster, but already this has got a great story behind it. What about the football? Have you had a chance to think about the football at all this weekend?
I have, but in all honesty, it's been a week of distractions, particularly with school and COVID and lockdown and school closures, and then a busy few weeks for me personally. We're fully equipped and fully ready, don't get me wrong, but not being ideal in preparation, and then knowing what you're coming up against to then not knowing really what we're coming up against is a little bit different. But at the end of the day, and it's all cliche, but it's about us now. We can only kind of play what's put in front of us. They're going to be a good side. They're going to have lots of first-team players. I don't believe everything that I'm hearing. They're going to have first-team players playing for them. And they're going to be strong, and they're still going to be favourites. They're going to be know, well up for it, well prepared, and I don't think they've had really any issues. They were likely to have made a few changes anyway. So for us, it's just going to be preparing pretty much the same as if we're playing every single player that I've watched over the last two or three games.
And what about your own squad then? I guess as Dave Antonoff on talked about, for a big game like this, suddenly everybody's fit.
For the first time all season, I've got every player training tonight, believe it or not. Yeah, they're all fit, they're all up for it, they're all really excited. One of the biggest games in our football history, but at the same time, one of the biggest games in their playing career, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's the opportunity that, you know, that their families can watch it on TV and their family and friends. But also, these are the big games where you'd like to be able to have everybody there to celebrate with you, win, lose or draw.
Yeah, this is one of the most difficult things. I mean, if we were talking 2 years ago and we were on this cup run, there would be a totally different feel to it. The euphoria around the FA Cup is phenomenal, and it has been around the club for a few years when we've done well, but to be in the third round proper against the Championship side, against Wayne Rooney's team, is absolutely massive for us. And if our families, friends and supporters were able to share that these moments with us, you know, the game on Saturday, but also thinking back to the Peterborough game, the Wigan game, then it would be a totally different environment than we're in now. So that is a shame, but at the same time, it is televised, so our family and friends can watch them from afar and share the recent moments, and hopefully they can share, at the very least, a moment to be proud of on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think we've spoken before about how proud you are of the football club, your long involvement there, and we also know from your work during the summer and the previous lockdown how proud you are of your school and the people that work with you there. It's probably quite nice over Christmas that you were able to spend some time with your family.
You know what, you're right, and you know, for lockdown, having time at home for a lot of people, it's not good because you're there all the time. It's Groundhog Day. But for me, I'm lucky in the sense that I can go to work, I've still got something to be focused on, and then go to football, I've still got that release, that cathartic moment for me. And then when I go home, which I don't get much time at home, I really enjoy. So to have that time kind of locked in my house over the Christmas period, it's been a pleasure for me, in all honesty. Obviously it's not in the time that we want it to be in with everything that's going on. It's not great, and you know, I envy anyone who's going through a really tough time at the moment. But for me, being really selfish and thinking about it from that point of view, it's been a godsend to be able to have that time with my kids and with my wife.
I think the fact that you're speaking to me now Wednesday evening when you're frantically running between potential training venues to try and make sure that you get a training session in probably suggests you're not the most selfish person on the planet at this time.
No, I do give a lot. I do give a lot. I do try to invest as much time as I can into the things that I'm doing because, you know, I believe that if you're going to do something, you've got to do it. You've got to do it right and you've got to do it well, like most people. So try to put the time and effort in, but so does everyone at the football club and at work and school. So, you know, I'm proud to be a part of, as you said, what I'm doing, and it's great to be on this run at the moment, to be celebrating it, and you know, all the media that's coming with it. The lads are all being interviewed. We've been on Sky Sports, BBC. It's been the non-league show, of course. Look, it's phenomenal for us, and something that, you know, this might not happen again ever in any of our lives. So, you know, I've told the lads to absolutely enjoy it and not treat it like any other game, because in my eyes, it's not.
You say that now. You know, if you get a result of the weekend, Sunday may be even busier than you thought it was.
Well, that's the dream. That's the hope. And, you know, that's what we are aiming for. We know the challenge ahead is a tough one. We know regardless of what side they're going to put out, it's going to be a difficult team. You know, we play against, if it is the under-23 team that they're talking about in the media at the moment, then, you know, we play against some top under-23 sides, and we're often beaten by them in pre-season. So, you know, they're able to challenge. And, you know, I can't imagine that every first-team player is going to be impacted there. So, but as I say, we're preparing for a tough, tough game. We're preparing for the first team of Derby County to arrive. And, you know, if we don't get their top players, we're going to get the second string. Then those second string players will be exceptional footballers and players who are capable and have aspirations of playing at the top level of English football and also probably international football. So it's going to be a challenge for us.
Now, I said at the top there that you're probably the busiest man in the world, and you know, maybe Boris Johnson might, Hancock may suggest that that's a maybe they've been busier this week. But has it been the busiest time of your life ever that you can remember?
Yeah, without doubt, with everything going on. I mean, just to give you an idea, on Sunday was trying to prepare for school. There's a lot in the media in the weekend about schools opening, schools closing. There's a lot of union meetings, so that kind of hit at midday. From that point on Sunday, I had four different meetings with different people, with a range of head teachers in Warrington, with my own staff and some senior leaders. So then trying to prepare for the derby, because Sunday I did put it to the side as well to really get focused, spend a couple of hours doing that. And then Monday we were hit with the lockdown, school closure. So, you know, I was up very late again, like most school leaders and a lot of people up and down the country, till all hours of the morning, trying to prepare to get things ready for Tuesday. And that happened with Derby going on, which is one of the biggest moments in my sort of footballing career. It's been hectic, and you know, I am not complaining, because the media coverage is fantastic for the boys, for the club, and for me personally, it's great to be a part of. But there's been a lot of it. There's been interview after interview and request after request, and it does take its toll on you. It does take its toll on the time. But you know, I suppose it comes with the territory of doing as well as we have done, and people want to hear about Little Jolly Football Club and how we're preparing and how we are getting ourselves ready for the biggest game in the club's history.
Well, Jamie, I better let you go and go and finish those preparations. We've had the pleasure of speaking to you on some joyous occasions with Chorley, and hopefully this weekend will be another one of those. Make sure you do enjoy the day and the event and the everything that goes with it. But thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Fingers crossed. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So, as I discussed with Phil Annette earlier, this next game would, you know, in many years have been the top billing of the FA Cup third round. Still a cracking game ahead, and one I'm sure our next guest is really relishing. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Boreham Wood, Luke Garrard.
How are you, okay?
I'm good, Luke. Now, what about this big weekend ahead? Saturday, 12 p.m. on a BT Sport channel. Not something completely alien to you in the National League, but the circumstances and certainly the opposition make for a rather unique occasion ahead.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, it's a big tie. Very big tie. It was one that obviously I knew about prior to the Canby game, so it was almost in the back of my head playing Canby, knowing that we had the opportunity of playing a championship side in Millwall. In terms of the normal week for us, it's gone like we would do in a National League game. We've prepared like we would do. We've done nothing different. We're on a great run of form. So we're just hoping we can continue that against Millwall.
Yeah. Do you feel the pressure because it is a big game like this, or in the National League, is that sort of almost commonplace now?
I don't think we've got pressure against Millwall. I've got to be honest, obviously we're the underdog. The cameras are there to see a banana skin as such, like they were against us in Canby. But in terms of, it is a big game, don't get me wrong, massive opportunity for us to progress to the fourth round proper. But in terms of pressure, I think that the boys are just going to go and enjoy the moment, give everything they've got, and hopefully we can cause an upset.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Canvey game there in the previous round, where you were almost, it was reverse roles, wasn't it? It was Canvey looking for the upset there. So are you using some of the psychology from that game back in this one?
Listen, we've hired a mindset coach in the last 4 to 5 weeks prior to the Canby game, and our form has taken an upward curve since then. Has that been fortunate because of that? Who knows? But we've done a course yesterday with him as a group, as a squad and management, to speak about what language do we need in terms of verbal and non-verbal to go and beat Millwall. The words in terms of fear, banana skin, in terms of Millwall, I think that's something we need to play on. So in terms of the game against Canby, yes, we had to be professional. I felt we were. Millwall, we're full-time. We didn't have the luxury like Canby. They didn't have that two-week period leading up to our game to play competitive games of football, to train at a high tempo. We have. And we've played Barnet recently on the box, and we've trained at a tempo all week to leading up to this game. So I'm hoping the gulf isn't as large as it was against us and Canby as it will be against us and Millwall.
Yeah, that's interesting, the mind coach thing, because we talk about the mental well-being of our players being so important nowadays, and we're seeing so many new ways of improving non-league football. I mean, you mentioned you're full time, and we appreciate that. But it is good that the non-league's able to access some of these additional methods just to get that little bit extra out of your players.
100%. The chairman's used the tagline of a social responsibility, and I feel that with a pandemic and COVID, people might be going home. Like I said earlier, off the mic, I've got two kids and a wife, so I'm going back to a house that's quite full on. Some of our lads might be going back to houses and they're on their own. And that's mentally tough. So we've looked at that in terms of what we can bring in and add to the group. I think people use their tools in terms of their feet and their fitness levels, as that's what it takes to become a player. Mentally, it's just as important. And I think that's something that we've worked on in the last 4 to 5 weeks. And it's all about the non-negotiables. Like I said, about the language. And I'm talking verbally and non-verbally, how you conduct yourself as a human being more than anything. And I think that as a group, the togetherness has been fantastic, and we've seen the unity on the pitch, and that's been 6 wins in 6 from the last 6 games as such.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that. Yeah, the current form, you say about the mental language and that, but you going into games like this, you want to take any positives you can to boost the confidence, and the stats on paper are, well, exciting for you, aren't they? Your 6 wins, and then you look at Millwall. Is it 1 win in 13 in the Championship? It's a different level, but it's those positive mindsets which do win games.
Exactly that, and no disrespect. If we used to play Millwall 10 times, they'd beat us 8 or 9. We're playing them once, and that's something that we've harped on in terms of we can give it all in a one-off game. And that's what the FA Cup's about. And like I said, there's 4 of us non-league clubs going into the side. There's Stockport, there's us, there's Marine and Chorley. And for me, there's going to be an upset. Why can't it be us?
Yeah, and looking at that, it says so much about the strength of the National League when you look at some of those recent wins. You mentioned Barnet. There was also a 1-0 away win on a Tuesday night at Notts County, a 2-1 away win at Hartlepool United. They're big games, they're big clubs, they're big wins, and they are decent preparation for welcoming Millwall in an FA Cup match like this.
100%. You touched on it. Notts County are a League 2 side in their own right, and we went there and I felt we were very professional, stuck to the game plan. They have a similar way of playing to Millwall. So we worked on what we prepped ourselves for the Notts County game this week and how we feel that we can cause them problems. Millwall are a very good side, a very, very, very good side. They've got great personnel and they can go 1-24 players. And when they put them in, yes, we need to make sure we're playing at 100%. We don't carry any passengers and go in it together. And that's something that we've worked on all week, that no matter what happens, every small loss for Millwall is a massive gain for Bournemouth, and we have everything to gain come Saturday.
And you being full time, you're in that elite bubble. You do have the benefit of meeting on a daily basis. Have there been FA Cup tales being shared around the dressing room?
Listen, we've got Tom Champ and Matt Reed that have Champ's walked out at Man U, captain in the side, getting Rooney's shirt, and obviously Matt Reed went to the quarterfinals with Lincoln against Arsenal. So I'm drawing upon them experiences, as are the players. And we want to rewrite our own history as a group of men. And we've already created that, getting to the third round proper. But we want the journey to continue. And that's something that we are honing in on come Saturday at 2 p.m, hoping we're in the fourth round draw.
Yeah, and FA Cup, the big focus this weekend. But, looking at the league table, those league wins, your games in hand, you'd be up there in the playoffs, if you could get those wins behind you. So as much as a win on Saturday would be brilliant, and, set yourself in FA Cup history, a great chance of promotion if we can get this season finished. Must be a tempting, glittering prize as well.
Listen, we for the first time, I know it's been a bit false because we started on October the 3rd as opposed to normally an August date, but for the first time, we're going into January on all fronts, and that includes the league, the last 32 of the FA Trophy, and the third round of the FA Cup. Like you said, if we win one of our games in hand, we go to fifth. If we win two, we go up to fourth. If we win three, we go up to second. We've got an opportunity, but we just got to control what we can control. The focus now is Millwall on Saturday, and we need to ensure that our mentality is win the next game. Not worried about Dover just yet. I'll pick that up at 5 p.m. on Saturday to do the work for that. But fundamentally, the work's got to be done for Millwall this Saturday at 12 p.m.
And you've already mentioned him in the, you know, in our discussion here, Chairman Danny Hunter, old friend of the show, one of non-league's own. Now he'd admit he's not everybody's cup of tea, but a man that literally would do anything for his club. And you've already touched on that there, but how's he been in the run up to this game? I remember talking to him before the Wembley playoff final, and he was like a kid before Christmas.
It's about memories for my chairman now. It's about creating memories as a group of players. We haven't had a moment after Halifax when Matt Rhee headed it in with our fans. We didn't have a moment once we beat Southend in the first round proper. And Saturday, we want to have a moment as a group of players. It's unfortunate that we don't have that luxury with fans. But prior to this, before the curtailment of last season, he's been amazing. The support that he's given us, the players, he's paid us all 100%. And I know there's clubs in the National League that have to tell their players to go down to 80, 70%. And that's something that he didn't do. And the social responsibility he's put on ensuring that the players are getting paid, are getting looked after, the mindset coach, I just think he's gone above and beyond. And I have to say, as a chairman, being a manager for 6 seasons now, he's been amazing.
Well, Luke, it's always good to talk to you. Always good to get an insight, a slightly different insight into a slightly different club. I think Bournemouth are a slightly different club, and Danny knows that I mean that in all the right ways, because it's probably nearly 25 years when I first met him in the boardroom, and he's one of those characters that sticks with you, and fantastic loyalty, as he's shown to you. And I hope for all of you, you have a great day on Saturday, and hopefully we can be celebrating a very good result after the weekend. Best of luck at the weekend, Luke, and thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Really appreciate that.
Now, it was only last round that we spoke with my next guest. The end of November now seems a very, very long time ago, and most of us haven't even been anywhere. Yeah, but back then, he was plotting to overthrow non-league managerial maestro Paul Doswell and his Havenham Waterlooville side. Having ticked that box, now his focus is another managerial maestro and possibly the globe's most interesting manager. Jose Mourinho and his Tottenham Hotspur side face a trip to Rosset Park Crosby this weekend. And it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Marine, Neil Young.
Hello, are you okay?
Oh, I'm okay, Neil. I mean, how are you? I think my text to you after the draw for this third round was something like, you thought last week was busy.
Yeah, you're not wrong. This week's been very busy. I mean, I think last 2 days, 25 interviews, I think, different media commitments. So yeah, it's been very busy, but, you know, we wouldn't have it any other way. You know, it's all interest in the football club, all good stuff. So enjoying it, although a little bit tiring.
Yeah, and still time to speak to the Non-League Football Show. We appreciate that. So much media attention. The first time in 150 years of the FA Cup that there's been such a gap between the sides. Does that make it even more surreal, or just help you shrug off any pressure?
I think it makes it more surreal. You know, for Tottenham Hotspur to be coming to the Marine and into Crosby, you know, to our little ground, you know, as you said, it is surreal. But it's been a long journey. You know, you said there on your intro along about how many games and things and the time it seems to have taken. We've played 7 games to get here. Feels like I've played a season already. And we've hardly played any league games. So, yeah, looking forward to it and really excited.
Yeah, I already made the point earlier on in the show about the number of games. Those 7 games you've already won. What was it? Barnswick Town, Frickley Athletic, Runcorn Linnets, Nantwich Town, Chester, Colchester United, Havenham Waterlooville. In normal times, it's incredible. In COVID times, it's pretty amazing, particularly, as you say, what is it, only 7 league games you've been able to get under your belt.
It is, yeah, and probably between most of those games, we've not had a league game. You know, we've had to play behind closed doors in a friendly. You know, like clubs at this moment in time, not much football happening. We haven't played for this round since Boxing Day. We've actually been struggling for somewhere to train, to be honest, with the current weather that we're getting. So, yeah, as I say, you know, we're really looking forward to it. We're preparing best we can. We know we've got a massive game on, but as I say, you know, you've got to look forward to something like this.
Yeah, and you've sort of fallen now into this elite football bubble as well. You really are in a very specialist category. How have you been able to cope with that? I guess the players are still trying to juggle normal jobs as well.
Yeah, we've all got work commitments and football. I mean, from elite to non-elite, it's no real different than what we would be in a normal world, really, in terms of we'll train Tuesday, Thursday. You know, obviously this week with the game being Sunday, we'll train on Saturday as well. So it's our normal training schedule, really, in terms of what we would normally do if the pandemic wasn't about. So, yeah, lads are working, you know, and obviously coming in and training. We've got COVID tests and things, and it's a little bit different in that way. But overall, you know, it's not much different than what we would normally be doing.
Yeah, I guess, you know, your squad's probably got a number of key workers in it, NHS, teachers, no doubt. So quite possibly, with the week that the whole country's had, is probably one of the most stressful weeks that they've had than ever before. Are you having to sort of make extra allowances for that? You know, we talk a lot about mental health and well-being of our players, but this week, it's a massive week for them, both on and off the field.
Yeah, it is. I think it's difficult for everybody. And as you say, you know, we've got a number of key workers within our squad. But, you know, the lads throughout the whole process of the FA Cup have been really good. As I say, the added worry in this round is the fact that, you know, lads have got to be COVID tested. We don't have the biggest squad in the world. In fact, we've got 19 players. So, you know, we've come through the first round unscathed. On Friday, we've got another one this evening. And, you know, we're hoping that we come through that unscathed, because the rules and regulations at the moment, potentially, you've got to play with 14, and after that, you potentially could have to get, you know, forfeit the game. So we'll wait and see.
There's always an extra twist. And you say you've got a squad of 19. The FA have now announced you're allowed 9 subs. Any chance of signing anybody late on to make a place on the bench?
Well, we're going to try, but again, they've got to be COVID tested. They've got to have not played in the FA Cup, and they've got to be non-contract. So it sort of, you know, takes your numbers down. We can't, you know, we even looked at potential loans, but we've got no football to offer them potentially after Sunday, unless we get to the next round. So we've got, you know, there's not a lot you can do, really. It's hand tied behind your back a little bit. But as you say, we definitely won't be taking a full complement of subs up.
Now, perhaps it's not surprising with the many games that you've won to get this far already, but you're the top scorers in the competition. Modern-day Spurs are known for their mean defence. Have you identified any chinks in their armour yet?
I don't think we found any chinks in their armour as such. I mean, you know, we beat Leeds 3 last week, we beat Brentford midweek without conceding. So, you know, we know it's a massive task, a difficult task, but it's a great cup tie, and I think, you know, it's the FA Cup. It's what the FA Cup's about. It's what the FA Cup was about when I was growing up, and it's, you know, it's a real romantic tie for everybody that'll be able to watch it at home on Sunday.
Yeah, I've already mentioned it's probably even the biggest audience that Spurs will play in front of it for many years, simply because it's a Sunday tea time match during lockdown.
Yeah, everyone I've spoken to seems to be wanting to watch it. You know, we've had lots of interest from all over the world, not just in this country, all over the world. We've had our lads on Australian breakfast shows and all sorts. So, yeah, there's been plenty of demand for the game, and they expect it to be well watched throughout the world.
Yeah, the last man that took Marine to the FA Cup third round, I think, was Rowley Howard, who that was near the end of his career, that spanned 33 years, 30 trophies and nearly 2,000 games in charge. No pressure on you then?
I don't think I'll be matching Rowley's record, 33 years. I know that's unbelievable. And, you know, Rowley still, he contacted me actually after the last game in our last win to congratulate us. You know, he's an absolute legend at Marine, rightly so. But yeah, I said when I came here, to the club when we first came, a little bit in the doldrums, I remember saying to my assistant manager, you know, we need to now make our own history here. You know, they were talking about, obviously, Rowley's side back in the 90s and things, and you know, we said then we need to make our own history, and hopefully that's the start of that. This is the start of that process.
And nice to see that the club have backed you as well over the Christmas period with a contract extension, I think, well, another, what, 3 years to 23-24 season?
Yeah, it is. You know, the talks are quite swift. The club, you know, we've had numerous discussions over many months now around the structure of the club and what we want to do going forward. Obviously, getting this far in the FA Cup has helped us in terms of moving on our infrastructure off the pitch around the football side. So, yeah, we've got a plan that we want to work to. You know, the club have agreed certain things that I wanted in terms of the infrastructure and going forward. And I'm looking forward to working together for the next 3.5 years. So, you know, we've got to get promotion at some stage as soon as possible if we can. That's a difficult task as it is. And obviously, we've got to enjoy days like Sunday.
Yeah, and it's obviously a little bit of a slightly different focus because the fans aren't allowed there. But I guess there's going to be one big party when lockdown is freed up and people are going to be able to enjoy your success, you know, whatever the result of the weekend.
I think so, yeah. I think it's captured the imagination of I think the general public, but it's definitely captured the imagination of people on Merseyside. You know, when we were allowed a few fans back for one game, when the lockdown was, we were in a different tier system, we were in tier two. You know, our tickets were sold out in about 8 minutes, I think. So it has captured the interest. And as you say, we are hopeful once this pandemic, you know, does end, and let's hope it does as soon as possible for everybody, that we can have some sort of, you know, celebration of what's been achieved. And hopefully by then we'll know what the league's going to look like either this season or going forward, because that's another difficult conundrum for the league as well.
Yeah, and obviously your opposite number, Jose Mourinho, he's been very respectful all the way along since the draw. Now, he's known for enjoying a red wine with the managers post-match, but I guess current rules mean that you're going to have to invite him back for that party at a later date.
I think so, yeah. I don't think he'll like my oldie or little wine, to be honest. I'll have an offer. Yeah, I mean, it'd be great to just be able to have a chat with Jose if we get the opportunity. Again, COVID rules and regs might dictate if that can be done. But Tottenham, I know along the way, spoken to our secretary on numerous occasions, have been very helpful in helping us organise this game, because it's very new to us in terms of the logistics of it. And you only have to see, you know, from the virtual ticket sale that's been going on online, and, you know, that's been supported by football fans and people, communities across the country and across the world, which we're very thankful for. And we're also very thankful for the Tottenham supporters who've got right behind it and have been buying scarves, programmes, everything. You know, it's been phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm pleased you mentioned that, because there have been various GoFundMe pages, there's been various bits of memorabilia, the virtual tickets, as you say. I think it's going to be more than a sellout even if you were allowed people in there. And you've also got that global audience, and it's been great as well to see the local community really getting behind you, including some big names. I think Jamie Carragher, among one of the sponsors for the game, who quite often popped his face in locally.
Yeah, Jamie's always around, you know, helping out. He helped out in the community in the first lockdown. And as you say, when we had the sponsor pull out, Jamie stepped in and filled that void, which, you know, that's an incredibly generous, you know, offer to us, and we're very grateful. But, you know, as I say to the club, you know, this has never happened before. It may not happen again, and we also need to maximise the opportunity if we can, you know, to put us on a firm foot and going forward over the next 5 to 10 years. And, you know, this cup run and what the lads have achieved is allowing us at the moment, you know, to live that dream in terms of playing Tottenham Hotspur. But, you know, football will go on after Sunday. You know, we've got to make sure that we're looking for the future of our football club as well.
Yeah, and it's a Sunday 5 p.m. kickoff for a global audience. Hopefully you've got a barber within the team or the bubble. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult to make sure you look your best.
Yeah, we've got, we've got plenty going on with the lads. I mean, we've got bubbles, we've got drinks, we've got all sorts, they're working on all sorts behind the scenes. I think I've tried to stay out of it as much as I can, but everyone's looking forward to it, and, you know, we'll take it as it comes on Sunday and see where we go.
Yeah, what about the neighbours at Rossett Park, the dugouts? Effectively, you back straight on to those gardens, and those neighbours, they've probably suffered over the years with stray balls and maybe a bit of stray language as well. Suddenly, they've got the prime seats for the biggest game in football this weekend.
they have, and it's incredible, isn't it? You know, that you know, there's always throwing balls back. They watch the game, and you have plenty of banter with them. You know, it's great. It's great. I go back to, you know, it's what the FA Cup was always about, wasn't it? As you said earlier, just a shame no fans can be in, and because that feeling, particularly in a non-league ground, of how close you can get to the players, etc., and you seem to be virtually on the pitch. But yeah, as you say, you know, the housing is houses back onto our pitch, you know, and I'm sure they're looking forward to it as much as we are.
Well, Neil, I really do appreciate you giving us a moment of your time, because I'd imagine I've just now eaten into your sleep period over the coming days just by having this conversation. Always a pleasure to speak to you. We wish you well at the weekend. Even from a Spurs fan, I'm going to be rooting for you. Hopefully we'll have you back on the Non-League Football Show very soon.
Thanks very much. If you would have told me that at the start, I might not give you the interview, to be honest.
So we've already heard how manic being a manager in the FA Cup third round this season is, but it's not just on the field, it's off the field with daddy daycare and homeschooling coming into the equation too. A man who is a match for all of these and more, it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, manager at Stockport County, Jim Gannon.
Good evening, you okay?
I'm good, Jim. Now, you're a busy man as ever, but you've got the luxury of a weekend in between your game and now. What's your record like in Monday night football?
I don't think we have one. We've obviously played the bank holiday Mondays, but it's been a long time since we played on evening, and definitely a long time since we played on a live game against the Premiership side. So, lads are looking forward to it.
Yeah, and depending on how quickly they draw the balls on Monday, you could also know your potential opposition for the fourth and the fifth rounds before you kick off. Quite a carrot.
Yeah, I think that would be an exciting twist for everybody that's playing games. But for ourselves, I think it's exciting enough to be playing West Ham. Now, knowing who you have in the fourth or fifth round is exciting. But I said, when you cross that white line, you're playing the Claret and Blue and Edgeley Park and in front of a very big audience watching. So exciting times. It's just brilliant for a club of our size at this stage of the year to be in the third round, to play in such a game. So we'd be getting a bit too giddy if we were starting to think too much about the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah, you mentioned Edgeley Park there. I mean, football without fans is hard, but football in the FA Cup without fans, for a game like this, for a club like yours, it's a big game, but not quite the same.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what game, whether it's the first game of the season, Boxing Day, FA Cup first round, FA Cup third round, they're brilliant occasions on the calendar, and it's just so sad that we haven't got the fans to enjoy that. I don't know if you're aware that my last league game was my 500th as manager of Stockport, and there was nobody there to celebrate with me. All the people that had been part of that journey, there was nobody there. But that's part of the society and the community we're living in. We have to be extra careful. I'm just looking forward to a day now in the future where we can all get back together, and it doesn't really matter what game it is. It's just a great day when everybody, the gates are open and everybody's back cheering and supporting and watching the game they love.
Yeah, it's. I was discussing this with someone the other day. It's almost going to be like the end of one of those Hollywood feel-good movies, isn't it? When we all walk back in through the gates.
Yeah, it's a very surreal year. And I suppose everybody was hoping to put that behind them. And we started this year with even more surreal. It's a very strange feeling for everybody. I mean, in particular at our club, we've got new owners coming in January, and since the last game we played at Edgeley Park in front of the crowd, the whole place has been revamped inside and outside. So it will be very strange for our fans to return to Edgeley Park and see all the changes. But yeah, it something that was so familiar to them almost every second weekend, it seems as a distant memory. So it will be a very strange feeling for everybody when they come back. But I'm looking forward to it, because you know, there's nothing more exciting. I mean, you have the changing room atmosphere, you have the tunnel atmosphere, and then you suddenly go out and you just don't, your heads and your necks don't go up because there's no crowd cheering you out. It's a very surreal, strange time for everybody. But for us in football, we should count our blessings and you know, we're looking forward to just playing football on the grass. I mean, there's many people that can't go to work, can't do the job they love. And, you know, in that sense, we can still play the game, we can still manage, we can still watch ourselves. Like I said, it's just a shame for our fans that they can't enjoy it.
Yeah, but I would add that yours is one of the clubs that have done so well embracing the fans, even from a distance, via social media, via various sort of online events, just to make sure that that heartbeat is still there.
Yeah, I think every club's tried hard. Obviously we did Zoom meetings with our players in the first lockdown. Then you start engaging with the junior supporters, and then on a wider way with the fans. Social media and Zoom calls and YouTube platforms are tremendous for us to engage with fans. And I think the new regime that have come in have certainly embraced that like new generation of technology. And with our county TV and we're connecting with our fans, and like every club, we have a tremendous connection with them in so many ways. But like I said, we're keeping that going. I suppose in many ways, we're probably earning some new fans. All those diehard fans who are sat home and they've got the three-year-old, the dog, the grandparents, all watching the county play on a Saturday afternoon now. So it must be a very strange atmosphere in the in households at Saturday at 3 o'clock, and certainly will be come Monday night.
Yeah, and this is one of those games where, you know, people suddenly focus on a club and grab hold of you and follow you for generations to come. The club has got great FA Cup memories, but a win in this one against West Ham, having a great season themselves, would surely compete among the best.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was part of the... there were some great occasions in the 60s and the 70s, but myself personally, I had a tremendous period at the club in the 90s where we went on that great run all the way to the semi-final of the League Cup as a first division side and beat West Ham at Edgeley Park in 96-97 season. We beat Southampton away, we beat Middlesbrough away. We had a tremendous journey that year. You know, you only dream of those things as a player when you're in the second and first division, to play one of those games this season, but to play five is brilliant. For us, obviously, it's a far more daunting prospect because we're a National League team, we're Tier 5, so we're playing somebody 5 tiers above. And not since I was Northwich manager in the FA Cup second round, playing away at Northampton. I think we played 10 games that season to get to that stage. And but for our lads, it's a huge occasion. Rochdale was a massive game for us, you know, play somebody so high above us. But for our fans, it wasn't exciting because it was a game that they still remember from 10, 12, 15 years ago. But now this is, like you said, a new generation that wouldn't have seen this type of game. So it's for them that I'm really excited.
Yeah, and Phil Annett, FA Cup fact file, told us earlier in the show that Stockport County previously beat West Ham in the FA Cup 1-0. Now, that was in the 1934-1935 season, but I guess you take that result this time out.
Yeah, we'll take any positive result. West Ham are great side. I mean, I watched them recently. They've had a very, very good season when you compare to in recent years. A lot of time for David, great manager at Everton. Got to know him really well from all the loan signs we made at Stockport from Everton and at Motherwell. So I've always liked these teams, the honesty, the hard work and the touch of quality that they have. And you've definitely seen the hallmarks of David Moyes in that team. When Everton can't get a result at Goodison, we know we're in for a tough game at Edgeley Park. I think they treat this game with a tremendous amount of respect in the FA Cup, with a tremendous amount of respect. Last year they played a very strong side. We expect a very strong first team squad out, 5 subs, so you know you've got quality to come on as well. So really tough ask for ourselves, but it's a brilliant for our lads to be honest, you know, the same stage as these guys and see what the difference is, you know. And it won't be huge. It might be a little bit more strength, a little bit more speed, a bit more cuteness, a bit more quality. So it'd be a brilliant for our lads to measure themselves against such players.
Yeah, and it'd be one of those games that they'll never forget. And for many, 2020 was a year that most would like to forget. But I guess for you, the points per game shake-up at the end of last season costing you the playoff shot. But you, as ever, you were ever the gent in the way you dealt with that. But on a positive, the club now, you know, third round of the FA Cup, set for great things, a longer-term future. You mentioned the new owners, you signed a new contract with the club, a new lease on the training centre at Carrington. The club is back where, I think probably a couple of years ago, you mentioned about the longer-term project, your vision of where you wanted to take things. It's moved quite a way along that vision, I would have thought, in the last 6 months.
Very much so. I think when I first come back in 5 years ago, we were sort of languishing a little bit in the National North as a part-time side. So the structures of the club had changed dramatically. Now, we worked really hard within that budget to just have some growth. And we had 5 years of year-on-year growth, but very modest steps, got promoted. So for us last year to consolidate and compete in the National was a tremendous success for us. But now we've been able to go full-time. We've been able to attract a better player. There's real optimism and excitement about us making that breakthrough back into the league. But, you know, the National League is highly competitive. You know, you only have to look at the league and you'd have to take a second glance thinking it's League Two with the Notts Counties, the Torquays and Hartlepools and all these teams that have got great tradition. But we're every month, every 6 months, we look like we're going to get stronger and stronger. And we're in a good position at the moment. Obviously, we're still in the FA Cup, still in the FA Trophy, still in a solid position in the league. And despite the time of the year, we've still got much more football to play than this time last year. So just looking forward to getting stronger and stronger as each month goes by now in this new year. And hopefully 2021 could be a great season, a great year for the club.
Yeah, at the moment in football and beyond, every day seems to be a learning day. You're one of the most philosophical managers I get to talk to in the game. What do you think the big thing football needs to take from this whole experience to make it better when we finally hit the new normal?
I think the biggest thing is now is we must have a newfound respect for the fans, not just what they bring to the actual. The game in terms of making it much more atmospheric, but they actually bring some emotion to games and influence the game in so many ways. I think in many ways this period has been a real challenge for how we deal with them and how we treat them and how we keep them engaged. But I think the biggest lesson for me would be that they are a massive and huge part of the game, and I think we'll never forget how valuable they are after the fact that we lost them for so long. So when they come back, I think there'll be a newfound respect and appreciation of them, and we'll never want to lose them again.
Oh, I can see the T-shirt slogans on the back of that already, Jim. I'm pleased I asked the question. I knew you'd have the perfect answer. Thank you for giving up your time. I know it's a busy occasion, and we wish you well. Well, on Monday evening, I was going to say the weekend, Monday evening, and hopefully we'll get to speak to you again very soon on the Non-League Football Show.
Thank you very much.
So let's round up the rest of the week's non-league news, and it's back on over to non-league paper towers, and a welcome back to Non-League Football Show to senior writer there, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Jim. Hope you're well.
I'm well, and it's the first week of the new year, and the country back in lockdown suggests the return of, non-league below steps one and two is a bit further off, and even steps one and two are in doubt too, with a statement this week from Slough Town reflecting what I think, certainly I've been saying, and many of us, many clubs have probably been thinking, but not yet put their heads above the parapet on.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate, isn't it? One of many sort of going on at the moment. Slough sort of saying that they, you know, think sort of a break should come into play given the current situation. It's such a strange time for non-league, really. I think you probably look at steps three to six and those seasons, and if things aren't going to be getting back to sort of out of lockdown until, you know, middle of February and pushing sort of March, you know, I really can't sort of see any way that the current season finishes like it normally would. And so that then throws up the argument of, how do we solve the season? Do we play a limited amount of games when we can at the end of the season? Or, you know, do we look at a different way, or do we sort of scrap the progress so far? Obviously, the difference between now and this scenario back in March is obviously teams have played a lot less games and things are a lot more up in the air in terms of league campaigns and progress teams have made. That said, you know, there's still a lot of work has gone on into these club seasons and a lot of effort and time and money put in by volunteers and people who run these football clubs as well. So, you know, you don't want another season that there's nothing to show for. You know, there's already been I've seen people and having spoken to people saying, you know, we'd just sort of walk away from the game and sort of give it up, because, you know, if this is sort of going to keep on happening and we're not getting anything out of it, then, you know, what's the point, really? So, yeah, it's probably sort of at the start of the sort of journey, I suppose, for the next month or so as to how things are going to get resolved. But yeah, that's the main talking point on for Leeds at the moment is what's going to happen with the season.
Yeah, and as you touched upon there, it's probably going to be March before things could get back underway at best, which is actually the same time that we stopped last season, which it shows... there's been plenty of time to think about things. I think that's the biggest frustration, is that we don't appear to be much further forward than we were last year in terms of a strategy and on where we can go from there. And yeah, I think it another null and void season again. I fully agree with you that we don't want to lose people's goodwill and you know, enthusiasm for the non-league game. It needs to be that the season continues and it runs across 2 years, if that's the case, just so that effort isn't wasted. But then we also have the season that we've had so far. Has that been fair to everybody across the board? It's a difficult one, and again, I appreciate those people that are having to make the decisions are in a difficult position, and you know, almost pleased that we're not having to make those decisions, but we do need a little bit of direction from somewhere. It's a difficult world that we live in, but you know, someone needs to lead the way. And the National League, of course, is all the focus, because it's the only one with any action really now. And the former old chief executive Michael Tattersall, he's left rather quietly in the end, and the former FA legal man and a man I've had many tussles and many laughs with over the years, Mark Ives, he sort of stepped into an interim role under the title of general manager on a temporary basis. But, plenty for him to be getting on with, including the continued fallout from the government handout at the start of the season. This independent report, we seem to be getting dribs and drabs of bits and pieces, but it doesn't appear to have... the situation hasn't been clarified, shall we say.
Yeah, that's right. The independent report was sent to clubs earlier this week. The independent report having been carried out by David Bernstein, former chairman of the FA. And sort of as we expected, really, the report didn't put the National League in a great light as to the way they've handled things or gone about things during this funding process. You know, the panel was looking into the way that they distributed the government money over the period of October to December. Clearly that's sort of not gone too well in the eyes of the independent panel. Several clubs were sort of campaigning for it to be investigated, because they weren't happy with the money that they received. It's not been a good sort of few months really for the National League in terms of that sort of publicity that I've had from the funding, and you wonder now the knock-on effect it will have in this latest sort of funding saga as to how this money will arrive from Sport England, whether it'll be grants or loans, and in what capacity, and how much each club will receive, etc. The National League, there's still questions over their transparency in terms of the method that they use to distribute the money. Clubs don't know what that was, how it was, how it sort of happened, what the terms were. And although clubs may not agree with the way the money was distributed in the end, perhaps if they knew the way the National League went about it and knew what the method was, it might soften the blow somewhat. You know, I'm not saying that they would feel any less aggrieved, but, you know, maybe they would understand it or see it from the National League's point of view. But I think naturally when things are concealed from you, you're probably sceptical as to what's going on at that point. So that's maybe sort of where the funding saga sort of stands at the moment. As I mentioned, the Sport England finance that's expected to come, it was announced a while ago. I mean, clubs are, and even leagues are none the wiser really as to how this money is going to be divided up. Sporting has said it will be on a club by club basis, which seems like a pretty sort of ambitious way of doing things, considering they're doing this for the whole of non-league. So there's a lot for them to take into account there. And I would expect that this certainly won't be the last we'll hear of this latest funding talking point.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to be the one that's bashing people. That concerns me about that it'll be on a club by club basis, because it just suggests that there's a lot of money that's in a pot that's available to non-league, but it's going to need a consultant or someone that knows how to fill in forms and funding agreements that's going to want to get paid for it, taking some of that money out to pay for them. So it's not all that money's going straight back into non-league, which is a bit concerned. But I mean, you touched on it there, that the original funding, which has been dealt with so controversially, shall we say, with the National League, that was to cover the period up until the end of the year. That's gone now. So those clubs, technically, they probably spent that money, or they could have if that was their way of thinking. So there is now almost a more desperation situation here for that. Clubs are going to want to access this other sport money that the government from the government. The details are just so sketchy, and as you said, Sport England have indicated a bit more about the framework that's going to work around this. But you would have thought, with over the years, so many controversial schemes, that the National League's recent issues are an example that. We need open application procedures and decision processes, and because otherwise you will get these conspiracy theories and unrest further fueled.
Yeah, that was right. And part of the argument for the clubs, or part of the issue, is that they started the league behind closed doors, of the understanding that they would have funding throughout however long that would take place. I understand the National League in their discussions with Sport England were under the impression that the money, when they first spoke about it, would arrive as grants. Obviously since then there's been this talk of loans, as Sport England said when they announced the money. So that's the problem facing clubs at the moment. Having spoken to the likes of Chester and Hereford, fan-owned clubs who have obviously had their issues in the past with money and debt and things like that, you know, in their articles of association for their clubs, it, you know, specifically says we can't take on loans and we can't take on debt. So where would that leave them if the only way out was to have a loan to get them through the rest of the season? And of course, it's also a time thing as well, really. You know, these clubs can't be waiting until February to know what money they're getting and when it's coming, because they need to play their players. And then obviously that, if, you know, that is the case, then teams are going to start fielding under 18 sides and or even just not playing at all, really. So the knock-on effect is massive, and I don't quite really know why it's sort of taken this long, really, for things to sort of come out. I appreciate it's a big job for Sport England to do, but you know, it's sort of the communication and sort of things coming out from them has sort of been very limited since the initial announcement.
Yeah, and that. That's part of the point that we've been trying to make, well, probably for almost a year now, isn't it? That these decisions do need to be made. That they are difficult decisions to make. But every time that something's further delayed, there's a whole nother intricate range of problems that spring up. And as you say, if we're talking about what happens to the season from here on in, the longer that's left, the more clubs are in a difficult position, and the more difficult it then becomes if, as you say, clubs are having to play youth teams to finish the season, then that makes a mockery of the season even attempting to finish. It's a the world's in a difficult place, but we just need some people to step up and make a decision. Anyway, away from the National League and away from all those problems, we do have the FA Cup third round this weekend as a nice distraction. You know, this week's episodes have all been about the FA Cup. We've been speaking to the managers, but there's a whole new gamut of new rules with additional subs allowed. There's paperwork and the knowledge of regulations for these games. There's an even bigger burden on the non-league volunteers and part-timers that keep our game alive.
Yeah, quite. Like you say, more changes thrown at them this week to try and sort of, I suppose, help clubs and teams and players with their health. Yeah, and it's certainly an interesting experience all round in the FA Cup, I think, this year, it's fair to say, with, you know, having to sort of get through qualifying rounds, particularly in those extra preliminary rounds and those early ties to catch up with the rounds, basically. We sort of had FA Cup almost every weekend. But now at the third round stage, which, you know, traditionally sort of always a massive one for non-league clubs, of course, we've got some great ties, but obviously, you know, fans won't be allowed in for obvious reasons. But a really exciting weekend coming up, and one that seems to have so many different storylines along the way, as we've heard from Jamie Vermiglio, in the sort of Derby County saga with their own sort of coronavirus problems and issues and things. It's, you know, represents a great chance for them to get to the fourth round. But you've also got Boreham Wood as well playing at home, and you'd always fancy them there. They're sort of historically so sort of strong there. You've got Stockport as well, and then of course Marine, that big tie on Sunday evening against Tottenham, which is a complete sort of dream for them, really, and really sort of what the FA Cup's about. And that'll be massively exciting. You just sort of hope the weather and things stay away, because obviously it's very sort of cold at the moment, and you don't sort of want those games going off or being postponed, or any sort of COVID issues with our non-league team either, or the opposition as well. So as we've sort of been saying all season, really, it's a very different year, and that's very much the same in the FA Cup. But hopefully the dream for non-league clubs can continue after this weekend, because we sort of revel so much on those upsets and particularly perhaps the newspapers as well.
Yeah, and I think last year so 2010-20 became a bit of a phrase when things were, you know, slightly different from the norm, and you know, 2021's already started across the world in a similar form. But the fact that we've got the FA Cup fourth and fifth round draws taking place on Monday before even the third round's finished, it says so much about the current state of the world and the world of football.
Yeah, absolutely, and I guess part of the argument is should we even be going ahead, really, in a global pandemic, or in a pandemic that's affected the country so badly, and particularly at this time when death rates and case rates seem to be increasing each day. You do, it's something that should be considered, the moral aspect of should football be going ahead, and it's a valid point. But you know, I think as long as it is going ahead, we watch the games and take them in as we would, and react to them off that. And certainly there'll be more storylines coming out of this weekend, and even before then, I imagine there'll be some sort of mood line tomorrow, or even on the day of the games, whether it be, like I say, COVID cases or weather or team selection or players missing. The drama, I suppose, is never ending.
Yeah, and we look forward to, as ever, to the weekend read on Sunday morning, which I'm sure we'll have some, hopefully some reports from the Saturday games in the FA Cup and the previews of the Sunday games. But I guess there's no putting the paper to bed early in the current climate, because, as you say, things are changing on a constant basis. What else can we expect to read in this weekend's paper?
Absolutely. It's very sort of fluid situation, I think. The newspapers have something different going on each week, but hopefully we'll have some more games as usual from the National League and North and South as well. That's one of the aspects is these games being called off at late notice, particularly with the weather as well. It can cause havoc sometimes, but no, we'll have all the matches covered that are on and going ahead in Sunday's paper. We're also looking ahead to those FA Cup games between Stockport and West Ham on Monday night, and also Marine against Tottenham on Sunday, which I'll be going to, and I'm very much looking forward to being there and seeing how that one unfolds. And there's plenty more as well. There's obviously all the fallout from the National League and the funding situation with Sport England, which, as we've been saying, affects the whole pyramid. So, lots of views and opinions on that as usual. So, if you can get out, if it allows you to, or if not, you can get the paper via a digital edition, which is can be sent straight to your laptops, iPads, etc. That'd be great if you can support the paper.
Well, yeah, I'll definitely be waiting early hours of Sunday morning. I normally check to see if my digital versions arrived early, because even without football, it's difficult to sleep at the moment. David, have a safe trip up to those FA Cup games, and thanks for joining us on Non-League Football Show.
Thanks very much, Tim.
So that's it for this week. Thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to all of you for listening, wherever they may be. A weekend of football beckons with all 32 FA Cup ties televised in some form or other. So hopefully you can get a football fix of some sort. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anson's there at DaveAnson78 and myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Take a look there too for the Non-League Gaffer Takes, which hopefully we will be able to bring you back in some sort of form very soon. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production, JIBBA, JABBA.